All right. Well, welcome again, everybody, to this Sunday after Christmas. I walked in this morning and I said to Rick, we were just here a few days ago, weren't we? And it feels like it's been a while, but that was just a few days ago. We are right now in this in-between time after all the celebrations of Christmas and before the push of the new year. And as we move into that new year, our focus often begins to shift toward things like resolutions and making changes in our lives. Setting goals, getting results, and with that often comes a pressure to perform or to improve, become better, or we take the opposite extreme and say, we're going to resist all of that nonsense and it's just going to stay the way I am. And today I want to consider another way of looking at life and considering that a way in between the pressure to perform or the resistance to remain. And we arrive at this third way of approaching life by considering a part of Jesus' life that's easy to overlook. It's a period of time that did not produce any grand results to write about, so we don't know much about it. What did Jesus do in this in-between time, the time between his birth and his baptism and began his beginning of his ministry? So let me put this out to you first. What do you know about that time of Jesus' life, between his birth and his baptism? He was the son of a carpenter. Yep, we know that. Yep. In fact, I think it was Mark or Luke calls him a carpenter. So we have that one reference that says he was a carpenter. What else? He did. He grew in wisdom and stature. Anything else that you know? Yeah, I think we can deduce that from the fact that he grew in wisdom, means he was learning something. He did. Yep, he went. We just talked about that passage in our men's Bible study and talked about how Jesus was asking really deep questions and they were amazed at the things he was asking. And yeah. Anything else? Yeah, there isn't a whole lot we know. We know that after his birth, he was visited by some shepherds and some wise men. We know that Mary and Joseph presented him in the temple according to Jewish customs. We also know that Joseph was told in a dream that he should flee to Egypt. And they did. They went to Egypt for a while to avoid the massacre of the sons of the Jews that Herod performed. And then they came back at some point after Herod died to move to Nazareth. So he was born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt, and then went to the northern extreme of Judea to be safe in Nazareth. And we know that age 12, as Wendy pointed out, he stayed behind the temple while Mary and Joseph set out for home. It was 3 days after they left that they realized, oh no, where's Jesus? They were probably with a big caravan of people, and they probably thought he was with his cousins or his friends or whatever, and oh no, where'd he go? And they went back to find him in the temple. And that's about it that we're told. Not a lot of details. And a lot of those things were not Jesus making decisions. He was a child, and he was being led by his parents. And it is really remarkable, I think, for that the first 30 years of his life, we don't know much about what Jesus accomplished. So did he just exist? Was he just kind of biding his time until he finally stepped out to make a difference in the world? Was he in a holding pattern, waiting, knowing what he was there for, knowing everything already, ready to go, and just waiting for the right time? Is there anything meaningful that happened during that time when he experienced life as a child, a teenager, and a young man? And today I want to point out that even though we don't read of any remarkable things that Jesus did as a youth, he was actually engaged in something very important. We read a summary of what he was doing at the end of the account of him staying in the temple. And in fact, Becky already brought it up. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read that passage. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. We read here, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among relatives and friends. And they did not find him. They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding of his answers and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's temple?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that is the passage I want to highlight today. During this phase of his life, Jesus was increasing in his wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is an easy phrase to overlook. We want to get to the good parts, the parts where he's healing people and performing miracles and teaching and revealing himself as the Son of God. Because that's the important part, right? The part of his life when he was doing great things and getting results. So often, that's what we think life is supposed to be about. We focus on performing, reaching goals, doing great things. We overlook the normal, everyday parts of life as filler between the important stuff. But that in-between time presents us with an opportunity not to strive and perform, but to be present and to become. Become more of the person God intends you to be. As Jesus experienced life as a youth, he did not just float through life. He didn't just waste his days away waiting for the right moment. He grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. And in the process of living and engaging with life, he was becoming someone or something new. If you take a closer look at the word stature that Luke uses there in Luke 2:52, you see that he used the Greek word helikaia. And this word doesn't just refer to physical height, which we often think of when we think of stature. It also refers to a period of life fitted for a certain purpose, or fullness of age or time of life. So growth and stature may refer to growing through a period of life into the person you're intended to be for what comes next. Just becoming something different. He gained experience during this time that filled out his humanity. And we can think about how important that is by considering this. Imagine if Jesus went immediately into fulfilling his greater purpose, seeking the goal of offering himself for humanity, before taking time to become a man of wisdom, stature, and favor. What if he, as a youth, stood out and started performing miracles and saying things about God? What kind of response may he have gotten? What kind of perseverance would he have had then? What kind of understanding would he have had of the world before he had the opportunity to grow in wisdom and stature and favor? He would not have developed those important foundational parts of his being that enabled him to endure the work that came when he stepped out as a savior and to communicate with people, to have compassion for people. He had to learn all those things. Jesus, like any other child, didn't just come into the world knowing how to be patient, how to have compassion, how to communicate. He had to learn those things. And he learned them by experiencing life. All of those necessary parts of a person's being develop almost without thinking during the everyday, normal parts of life. As we pointed out, Jesus was a carpenter before he was a preacher, a healer, and a savior. He learned to work wood and shape it into useful items. And a good carpenter knows you don't just cut wood and nail pieces together. There's more to it than that. You need to take time to work with the wood and shape it. In Jesus' time, I'm sure you had to patiently dry wood before you could ever get to the point of cutting it. Sanding wood smooth takes time and finesse, and even gathering it and maintaining the proper tools takes time out of actually building things. So even in just doing that work, Jesus was becoming the kind of person who knows patient perseverance and careful attention to detail, which formed an important part of who he was as the Savior. Because Jesus took those 30 years learning the daily rhythms of life in the workshop, in the temple, among his family and community, and listening to the voice of the Father, he grew into the fullness of who he was intended to be. He became Savior and Messiah. When he entered into his time of public ministry, he did so with a well-developed sense of when it was time to do and when it was time to simply be. When people around him started placing pressure on him to perform, he didn't react as though he needed to produce results to show them who he was. He often waited for the right time. And I have a few examples to share with that. We see it in places in like John chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. You can turn to that with me if you'd like. John chapter 7. And in this passage, Jesus had already been baptized. He'd already begun his public work and called his disciples. And after doing so, we read at the beginning of John 7 that he went and spent his time back in Galilee, his home area, the region he grew up in. Now, the Jewish Feast of Booths was coming up. This was an annual festival where everyone went to Jerusalem. And Jesus' brothers were urging him to go to Jerusalem with them. So that's where we pick up the text in verse 6. Therefore, Jesus told them, I might want to back up a little bit. Let's back up. Let's go back to verse 1. We'll read the whole thing. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews were there waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one wants to become a public figure, or no one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world," for even his brothers did not believe in him. So you see the pressure to perform. Jesus, you're doing great things. Let everyone know about it. Therefore, Jesus told them, "The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast because for me the right time has not yet come." And having said this, he stayed in Galilee. So Jesus knew this was not a time to act. It was just a time to remain where he was. Next, in John 11, we read about Jesus' dear friend Lazarus dying, and then Jesus brings him back from the grave. So while Lazarus was sick, his sisters sent word to Jesus that he was sick, urging him to come right away. They knew Jesus could do something to heal him. And then we read John 11, verses 3 through 6, which says, the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He wasn't pressured by the urgency of the situation. He knew what the Lord was going to do. And he knew this was a time to just remain, not jump into action. There was something developing here, important, that God would be glorified in Lazarus's healing. There was a time needed to allow the situation to develop properly. And then finally, we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested. This was a moment when the time for action had come. We read in Mark 14 that after praying, he got up and told his disciples, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And so now this is the opposite. Jesus knew this was a time of action. There are those moments in life where it is time to act, to perform, to pursue goals. But Jesus had a good sense of when those times were and when the times were to remain. And all of those are important times in our life. We often think the doing is the only thing that counts in our life. But those times of remaining and being are just as important. So now here we are in an in-between time, moving past Christmas and into the new year. As we look ahead to that new year, perhaps the question to ask yourself this year is not, what am I going to accomplish, but who am I becoming? Are you in a season of not much happening, a season of normal, mundane responsibilities, doing your daily things? Maybe it's you're waiting for a door to open. Maybe you recognize that, or today recognize that you're not just biding time, waiting for God to do something or to present you with some opportunity, but God is giving you an opportunity right now, a time to grow, to become. And we see these four parts of Jesus' growth that he lived in his life in Nazareth that we can use as a map for our own becoming this year. The first is to grow in wisdom. As you read the Bible, put some effort into studying what you read. Or maybe there's a good book you can pick up that will help you deepen your understanding of some aspect of Christian living and day by day learning to apply it. Those things take time. You don't have to rush to the end, but just learn to live it out and grow in wisdom. The next is grow in stature. Maybe God is preparing you for something or leading you towards something new. This could be a season to simply grow and mature in ways that build you up for whatever may come next. But this isn't something you need to rush into. You don't have to precisely discern, what is it God's preparing me for, so that you reach the goal more quickly. No, it's not about getting to that goal. It's not about getting to that point of actually doing something. The goal is simply to deepen or strengthen who you are in Christ, recognizing that we all have room for further growth and healing. So exercise some spiritual discipline and become more fully a new creation in Christ. Grow in stature. The next is a grow in favor with God. You are already deeply loved by God, so how do you grow in favor with him? It might just mean spending more time communicating and connecting with him, learning to love him more deeply in your own life, and coming to new understanding and appreciation of him. And finally, grow in favor with others. Growth occurs in community so often. It grows in our everyday encounters with other people. Take note of your interactions with others, your connections with them. How is God placing other people in your life to strengthen your ability to love them well and gain their respect and trust? Just on an everyday interaction with people. How can you grow in favor with them? And so as we enter into the new year, remember that there is value in every season of life. Whether you find yourself in a place of real performance, change, and productivity, or in a season of searching, resting, and discovering God, know that he is with you and leading you through a season that will enrich your life and your fellowship with him. Embrace the gift this year of a season of sacred becoming. And may you go forth from this place, not necessarily with a list of things to do, with a heart, but with a heart ready to become. May you come to know him and his love for you more clearly each and every day. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are with us in every season of life. Whether we are doing or being, you are there and you have purpose for us. I pray today that we can all have just a deeper understanding of the ways that you work in our lives. And may each one of us, day by day, grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with you and those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.